So Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Been really enjoying spending some time just doing a deep dive in this passage. It's been a really good word, something for myself that I've had to kind of come to these types of concepts multiple times over my life. And hopefully that it'll be helpful for everyone here this morning. So I'm going to start by reading through the passage and we can kind of unpack that as we go. So, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks to have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." I love how there's this kind of start to this passage talking about, it's no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. And often when we come to church, we actually are hearing the same thing again, and that's okay, and actually not just okay, it's actually a really good thing. We need to be reminded of things from time to time. So a lot of what I'm going to share this morning is not going to be a brand new revelation for most of you here. You've probably heard similar thoughts before. But we come here as a body of believers, come meet together, and we actually need to remind ourselves. As humans, we tend to not think of things if they're not brought to our attention. We might know somewhere in the back of our brain that it's true, but it's really easy to forget about these things. As we come here this morning, treat it as a reminder. There might be something new in there as well, but this is going to be a helpful reminder, I trust. So I'm going to be covering off on a few different kind of main points this morning. I've called it the thrust of the passage good works, but I'd like to kind of think of that as a fairly broad term, maybe righteous living or the things that we do, outworking of our faith, some of those practical things. Good works is kind of just a convenient kind of phrase to throw in there, but you talk about the words of the passage, talk about the things that we do, the righteous living that we aspire to. So I want to start with the concept that good works are in fact good. However, there are some attitudes that we have to watch out for. So I want to talk through some of these things where we can actually get the cart before the horse, so to speak. We might get it a little bit muddled on why we're doing good works, and there's some kind of quite dangerous attitudes that we can have about these. And then kind of close off with looking at what does works in their proper place look like. So, good works are good. So we see this in so many places in Scripture. You can go through, and I've got, I think, three here this morning that I would like to have a quick look through and get an idea of there actually are benefits. We actually do these things as Christians, that there is this component of righteous living as a Christian. So command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And then I want to jump through to James, which is going to be a fairly familiar passage. I think a lot of people, probably quite a famous chapter, James 2 there. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we see lots of passages, and this is just a small selection, that we go through in Scripture and see that good works is part of our expression of faith, that there's something that's really crucial to being a Christian. So why is Paul criticising good works? Well, it's a bit of a cheeky question because he's not. And that's kind of part of the thing that I'm going to be going through, that there is this idea of comparing them, but he actually talks about comparing them to what Christ has done, that they are garbage, and we'll talk a bit more on that later. They are part of what we do, but we have to really be careful to put them in their place and not to put too much weight on them, or vice versa, too little weight on them. So, some attitudes to watch for. So the question for you, as we kind of go through, is do you rate your works higher than you should? So kind of keep that at the back of your mind a little bit. We have to be thinking about the insufficiency of what we do to earn Christ's love or earn our salvation in him. So Paul uses a few examples as he goes through, and I've listed a few which he kind of talks about in this passage of what he was saying. If I was to boast in the flesh and things that I could say that I'm really good at, he's got a pretty impressive list, really. He's circumcised as a true Israelite should. Israelite, the tribe of Benjamin, that's probably one of the premier tribes that has a little bit to possibly boast over some of the other ones, that was more faithful than some of the others in their history. He persecuted those who he thought were God's enemies and a faultless keeper of the law. So he goes around and saying that if anyone's going to be boasting in things that they've done, I'm actually pretty good at this. So I thought I would actually broaden this a little bit and give a few examples from my own life. And the reason for that is then no one can accuse me of picking on them and targeting someone that I'm saying, oh, this is all about Josh over there. So I'm going to use a little bit as examples of my own life. What are some things that could consider good works that I've done? I've done some past and present things, just a bit of a random list here. And I want each of you to think, I'll talk a little bit about this, but each of you make your own mental list of some of the good things that you do in your life that kind of show that you're a follower of Christ, some of your righteous deeds, your good works in the community, that show your faithfulness and dedication. And it's not meant to be a list of bad things. So when I put this list up here, don't see that as Matthew's going to have a criticism of a bunch of this stuff up here. Because the key of this is that good works are actually good, as I mentioned at the beginning. So some of these things, I grew up not having a TV, so that was something which I could sometimes think of myself as doing pretty well, because look at all these other people who do have TV and they waste their time doing that. But me, I don't have a TV. I do have one now, just for the record. But you can go through a bunch of these things, and it's really interesting to look at this heart level part of it. So maybe just I'm going to spend maybe silence for maybe 30 seconds to have a think about examining your own life, have a quick inventory of some of the things you do. Give yourself a little mental list of a handful of things that you might do in your life that are good works or righteous deeds that show your living faith. So I'll give you about 30 seconds, I reckon. Okay, so I'd like to share, I'll kind of go through three different possible attitude issues that we may need to watch out for as we look at the things that we do in our life. So, number one, I am better than those around me due to my good works. It's really easy to feel superior if you have lots of things in your life that can reflect that you're a good Christian. I do all these wonderful things, and you can think of yourself as better and somehow superior to those around you. But in Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." We cannot boast by our own good works. It doesn't earn our salvation. And this is where we have to put it in context, that the things that we do are not good enough. When we looked at what the standard that Christ has set, all of the wonderful things we do, you know, Paul in Philippians was giving his list of things, and he later goes on to call it garbage. And it's because compared to Christ's standard, it's not enough. And we have to be really, really mindful of this, to be really wary of thinking I'm better than others, or maybe even a flip side approach to that, others need to do better so they can be more like me. Another attitude that we could potentially have: I need to do good works to prove to others in the church that I'm a good Christian. I think all of us have probably had something at one point in our lives of thinking, how is this particular action that I'm going through perceived by those around me? Have we ever had that kind of thought pop into our head about, oh, maybe I should do this because that's going to be what people expect of me, and it's the image I've got to present to be seen as good and holy to the people in church around me? And the Bible warns us against that. It says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. And it's a really good passage to read through when you have some time to go through, because it actually devalues things. It's like, what is it doing if we're actually doing a good work or a righteous deed just because we want to get the accolades of the people around us and think, this is making me really look good, being worried about what people will think of me. And then the third one I wanted to talk to is this concept. It's kind of on the opposite end. There's, you know, sometimes we can think of ourselves as awesome because we do some righteous deeds, and other times it can be this sense of insufficiency. I need to push myself harder towards good works to earn God's love. And many of us have struggled with this from time to time, where we can think, I'm not good enough for God. I've actually got to do more, and if I don't, then somehow I'm not worthy of God's love. And the Bible talks about this concept so many times. And Romans 5 verse 8 is a wonderful kind of, just nails it on the head there. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't anything we did that merited God's salvation. Jesus didn't die for us because we were awesome people and doing so many wonderful things. And, you know, particularly for people who have been Christians for a longer period of time, we have to make sure we remember that and keep that really close and don't get sidetracked by things we do, thinking that even if it's maybe not a conscious thing, it's a subconscious thing at the back of mind, are we thinking sometimes that I'm doing these things to earn God's love and I'm going to be good enough because I've done all these different things? So, works in their proper place. So, talked about good works are good. There are some potential attitude issues that we have to be really aware of and watch out for. And I've really just mentioned this. So, Paul's achievements, while impressive at a human level, are not impressive to God. So, Paul gave his list of, you know, how he was so good at following the law and doing what he thought was what God wanted him to do. It's really interesting seeing in there that it was that persecuting the Christians, and it was obviously not the right thing to be doing, but, you know, he was in this place where he was like, I'm getting all of this stuff really, really good. And he goes on and says, I consider them garbage. And it's this comparison thing. So he sees that there's good works, which should be doing, and then compared to what Christ has done and our insufficiency before Christ and his righteousness, he says, I consider them garbage. And then, so for the rest of that little section, it says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So we've got this, you know, kind of little comparison up here to have a bit of a think about. So could say my work so that I'm a better Christian than those around me, or it could be the couple of other variations I was talking about in those attitude issues, or my works are the outworking of my faith. And we know which one it needs to be, that our works are important. We started off with a few verses talking about the importance of doing those, but they're the outworking of our faith. We don't earn our salvation through it. It doesn't make us better than those around us, and we need to be really, really aware of that. So, that's the three areas I was looking through. So started off with the good works are good, and we need to have a look at those and be aware of it. And we actually encourage each other towards those good works as well. I don't want anything I've said this morning to be a, oh, you shouldn't do those things. So when you're looking at that list of, whether it's Paul's list of the things he was doing, or there's a list that I gave of some personal examples from my life, and I've asked you to think about your own life. What are some things that you do? And if you're doing them as an outworking of your faith, that's amazing, and you should continue doing that, and encourage others as well and build each other around. However, if you're going in there with some attitudes, then it might be time to actually have a think about, why do I do these things? Is it the response of me wanting to follow Jesus and do what he wants, follow his ways rather than my ways? Or am I thinking I'm better than those around me due to my good works? Am I trying to prove to those around me that I'm a good Christian, thinking about I've got to do this for accolades or just to be seen the way I want people to see me? Or am I seeing myself as trying to earn God's love? If any of those things are present in some of those things, it's actually really important to go back and have some soul-searching in that. And I would encourage each and everyone here to have a think about that in this, you know, week ahead. Spend some time to look through some of the things that you might do in your life. What are my motives for doing different things? Am I doing this for the wrong reasons? Am I doing it because selfish ambition, pride, all of these different things? And there's going to be a whole lot more kind of negative attitudes. I've kind of looked at three different ones that I think kind of jumped out to me as I was going through this. But have a think for yourself in your own life. What are some things that you might be doing that are there actually for the wrong motives? And don't beat yourself up about it. It can sometimes be easy to kind of set yourself into a, you know, self-flagellation, trying to kind of beat yourself up over these things. But have an honest look at what's in your heart, and ask God to search it and come forward from that, knowing that there is a proper place for works. We should be doing good and righteous things. So many of those things listed are things that you might all aspire to. They're not bad things to do, quite the contrary, but they have to be for the right reasons. So I want to leave you with this passage from James, chapter 2, verse 14 to 19, which I'm going to read through. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Remember, we should be doing these good works, and just have a look at yourself. Ask God to show you if there's parts of what you're doing that need to be re-looked at, whether you need to potentially repent of attitudes. I know I've had to do it many times over the years that things have come up where I've thought of myself as doing things, and I've realised that God's pointed out to me that I'm doing this for the wrong reasons, that I may have thought that it's a good thing to do and it's a righteous thing, but I've actually done it for selfish personal reasons, not as an outworking of my faith and belief in God.